710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. If you're just joining us, the big three headlines you need to know about. Well, the impeachment trial is underway, and much of the Senate nodded off during it, I noticed.
Well, we'll find out in a moment.
It was pretty boring, I got to say. But, you know, I'm sure Len was glued to Shifty Schiff's brilliant presentation.
I watched some of it. He gave a very compelling speech.
Absolutely. Got to get this guy out of the White House. Unbelievable. High crimes and misdemeanors. Give me a break. Also in the big three, the Weinstein trial is underway as well. And some pretty harrowing opening statements. I mean, this guy is a total pig, Len Weinstein. Len, you with me?
I agree with you. Why would I disagree with that one?
Although, you know, we go back to...
He said, she said.
Our buddy Jeffrey Lichtman, the noted criminal attorney, who says, you know, the opening statements on the prosecution side may sound devastating, but once you get those emails out and the text messages from the women who still wanted to hang out with Harvey after they accused him of raping, you know...
But I still think that, you know, another woman came forward and announced her name, and they have other women waiting in the wings. When they hear story after story after story, it's going to be very, Cosby-esque. We'll you know, see. They may pile on and get a conviction.
I think what they're going to say is that while it may seem consensual, the women had no choice. Right. They had to go along with Harvey's sexual desires.
Or they would not have,
or they wouldn't have a career. Yeah, that's going to be their argument.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And rounding out the big three, Eli Manning is retiring as the quarterback for the Giants.
Good for him. Walking out with a full, sound body and mind. That's that's very important.
And the Mets have a general manager, and Luis
regular,
Rojas.
Regular manager.
Oh. A regular manager, Thelma and Luis Roja. Luis Roja. That's his name, right?
You're ridiculous.
Why do you let him do that, Len?
Why do I have no control? That's Natalie's job. To control him. I can't control the guy.
I know. It's very exciting.
His name is Luis Rojas.
Luis Rojas. Yes, exactly.
Let me make one other point before we get to our guest, because we were talking about Biden before.
Yeah.
Whether or not he was lost his cool with a reporter. Also interesting to note, yesterday he was asked about testifying.
Right.
At the impeachment trial, because there was a lot of discussion. Well, we'll trade you Biden for the
we want
the
Hunter,
Bidens for Bolton.
We want Hunter Biden.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's what Biden had to say about testifying.
The reason why I would not make the deal, the bottom line is, this is a constitutional issue, and we're not going to turn it into a farce.
Yeah, there you go. And he went on to
say... You really think he can go all the way, Len?
You went out, well...
He sounds like he's expiring as he speaks.
He's going to get to Iowa.
he's not going to get out of Iowa.
That's in a couple of weeks. Here's what else he said.
They're trying to turn into political theater, but I want no part of being any part of that.
You go, Joe.
Oh, my God. Pathetic. All right, let's check in with ABC News correspondent John Parkinson. He was in the chamber yesterday. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
So, John, how many senators fell asleep?
Well, some of my colleagues definitely saw a couple people nodding off from time to time. When I was in there in the chamber, I did not personally see anybody, but you know, I think I was in there maybe at a little more interesting time when Adam Schiff was presenting, and you know, I think the senators were paying a little more close attention to him than opposed to some of the other House managers.
I mean, the word was that Mitch McConnell fell asleep at certain points, but you didn't see it personally, huh?
I did not see McConnell do that. He was not taking any notes, and neither was Chuck Schumer, but they're sitting, you know, 5 feet from whichever House manager is speaking at the lectern. And when I was watching McConnell, he seemed to really be paying close attention, even though he wasn't taking notes. He had an aide with him that was, you know, there to support him. And, you know, I think that McConnell definitely is paying attention as far as the content of these arguments. And, you know, I think that once the White House gets its turn, you know, they've been going and really just taking a lot less time. So they're you know, expected to kind of be a little more exciting and, you know, really be playing to the president's attention as well.
So, John, Shifty Schiff, he spoke for a long time. But what's the crux? What is the crux of his indictment against the president?
Well, he's ticking through both of these articles of impeachment. You know, you've got the abuse of power, you know, the president using the office to try to solicit, you know, a political contribution from a foreign power. That's really the first article. And then the second one is obstruction, you know, not cooperating with the House's investigation. And so he's been ticking through that, you know, Schiff has gone both, you know, looking at historic documents to try and lay out what the Constitution says about impeachment, but also ticking through the evidence and the witness testimony that they were able to obtain, you know, late last year. And, you know, he's certainly well prepared. Yesterday, as he left the impeachment trial, Senator Lindsey Graham caught him by an elevator right before the Senate door and, you know, just stopped him to tell him that he thought that Schiff was making a solid presentation, doing a good job. And I think that a lot of that kind of caught people off guard, right? Lindsey Graham is one of the president's staunchest defenders and certainly doesn't seem like somebody who could go to support, you know, conviction. But to see those two interact, you know, it was captured in some photos. And, you know, I think that it probably even caught Adam Schiff off guard.
Hey, we're on with John Parkinson. He's the ABC News correspondent on Capitol Hill. He was in the chamber yesterday for day one of the presentation from the Democratic House managers. Listen, I listened to it. I thought Schiff had a compelling case. My coworkers here dismiss him out of hand and don't care for his speech. Now, you as an objective reporter, or that's your job, did you feel that he was in any way making a compelling case, or did you feel he was just all over the map?
I don't think that it's been an incoherent argument from Adam Schiff. I think that, you know, the way that they've presented their case, I think that they're doing it both in chronological order and then also, you know, in a manner that I think is intended to try to at least maintain the Democratic support in the room. I think that, you know, they're going to try to make the case that they want to see some witnesses called here after senators are able to submit written questions. And I think there's going to be some pressure on some moderate senators, you know, and I look at all the Republican senators. I got to say, I've been paying a little more closely attention to them. My perch in the gallery was pretty much right above the Republican side of the chamber. And, you know, there's senators like Mike Lee, who's a constitutionalist, and he's taking notes from margin to margin on these, you know, pen on these pads that he's got. And Mitt Romney's taking very meticulous notes as well. And, you know, when they called a recess, two of the people that were really watching closely, Senator Susan Collins and Senator Lisa Murkowski, they stayed at their desks and they're seated right next to each other. And they, you know, conferred with each other for a while before exiting the chamber. And I think that, you know, they're looking at this in real time. And while there's some people that certainly will never, you know, give Schiff, I think, the time of day, there's definitely going to be, I think, a lot of pressure on some of these senators that are up for reelection, like Collins, and then also some of these moderates like Murkowski. And, you know, we'll have to see where they come out on this, especially on the question of witnesses once that comes up.
All right. ABC News correspondent John Parkinson up there on Capitol Hill. Keep him awake, John.
Thank you.
Can you get some milk for us?
That was some interesting stuff. I mean, yeah. You know, talking about this, perched above those Republicans. Interesting. Right. There was a report. Now, he said he didn't see any sleeping. You know, there was a report that there were many of the Republican senators were out of the room. They were supposed to be at their desk.
I know.
Every minute.
Isn't there some sort of penalty, though, if they leave the
room?
I don't
know. What are you going to do? Put them in Senate jail? I mean, what are you going to do with these people?
Deny them milk?
No milk and cookies for you?
No candy? You can't go to the candy drawer or whatever they have there?
You want to hear from Shifty Schiff?
Oh, God. Yeah, fine. Lay it on me.
Notes which I believe will reflect quite clearly the understanding of dirt for dollars.
Oh, yeah.
That was confirmed by this telephone call with President Trump.
Oh, high crime and misdemeanor right
there. There you go. The call was not perfect, says Adam Schiff.
Far from perfect. The call record revealed a president who used his high office to personally and directly press the leader of a foreign country to do his political dirty work.
It's outrageous.
There you go. Now, do you want to hear what Jay Sekulow had to say?
Yes.
Oh, now you want to hear from him?
I do.
He's the president's attorney.
Yes.
We will challenge aggressively the case that they're putting forward based on what we're hearing. And we also have an affirmative case that we're going to make as well. So we're going to do both.
They're going to make an affirmative case. I just want you to know that.
What's the affirmative case going to be?
Well, obviously, to defend their guy.
Well, I know, but what's affirmative about that?
Well, I have no idea.
We're not making any determinations on what witnesses we might call because we don't know yet their case. We're still hearing it. We'll see what happens. We don't even know if there will be witnesses. So we're just going to have to play that as it goes.
So I guess this whole idea of trading Bolton for Biden is never going to happen.
Natalie, you're a soccer mom. Are soccer moms following this whole thing?
No, they're not.
Natalie, come on. Be honest with us.
Do you really need to ask me that question? What do you think?
Is it just a big joke out there in, you know, the area where you live?
They're just not talking about it.
It's not in their daily conversation.
What is the big issue in the news in their daily conversation?
Yeah, what are soccer moms talking about?
I would say Meghan and Harry?
The coronavirus?
Yeah.
Wow.
The coronavirus at the moment.
Really?
The coronavirus.
Yeah. They're all wondering,
China.
Oh, is it going to spread? Is it going to come my way? Is there something we have to do? Meghan Harry was last week.
So last week.
An impeachment is so last year. All right, when we get back, we've got Eli, Jeter, and Rojas. I'm going to give you my take on the wide, wide world of sports.
Well, I can't wait for that.
Ever wish you could experience the magic of Broadway anytime? Well, we've got the station for you. It's iHeartRadio Broadway, mixing music from all your favorite Broadway shows, plus interviews I do with the big stars of the Great White Way. Now, there are three ways to enjoy the station. Visit iHeartRadioBroadway.com or search Broadway on the iHeartRadio app or stream the Broadway station on all smart speakers and devices. iHeartRadio Broadway, bringing you the best of Broadway 24-7, presented by Mercedes-AMG.
Glenn Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
All right, so you got impeachment, you got Harvey Weinstein, you have Eli Manning, you have Luis Rojas. So what does Michael Riedel care about? What's the cover of his new book that's coming out in December? So anyway, you can vote.
Well, don't minimize it.
I'm not.
I've spent 4 years working on this book, and I was presented with an array of possible covers, yeah. And I would like to know what our listeners, which ones they like.
I think that's a great idea, but yeah. I do think there are bigger stories today, but that's all you care about today.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You're right.
So anyway, we have put these covers up on our Twitter handle, at LenMichaelWOR, and you have an opportunity to vote. So Michael is cheaping out. He doesn't have to hire a focus group. And he has four possible covers for his brand new book, which is called Singular Sensation.
Yep.
It's what, the 90s on Broadway?
Yeah, the triumph of Broadway in the 90s.
This
when
is
Broadway
the,
became really big.
This is the sequel to his Times bestseller, Razzle Dazzle, which dealt with the 70s.
Right.
You skipped the 80s completely.
No, the 80s are in the first one, too. No, this is the 90s, because in the 90s, there were some major shows that, as Natalie knows, because Natalie loves Broadway, put Broadway into the mainstream culture. You got Rent, Chicago, Lion King, The Producers. I mean, those are blockbuster shows.
So go to our Twitter handle, at LenMichaelWR. So far, lots of people have voted.
Oh.
And so far, the one that Joe and I liked is in the lead. So,
number one. The first
number
one.
One's
Everyone
a good one. So we'll see. Go vote on Michael's cover. They look spectacular, by the way. The cover looks great. The book looks great. So it's coming out in December.
It'll be out in December.
Great Christmas gift. Pre-order now. Can you pre-order now? I don't know. Hey, Joe's with us. Eli Manning announcing his retirement. I think when I think of Eli Manning, I think of class.
Yep.
He won two Super Bowls, two lucky passes in those two games, but they won the Super Bowls.
They weren't lucky. I
mean, he stayed healthy. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
He lived a New York life, which was never on Page Six and never on TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good guy involved in charity work. I get the feeling, though, and I ask you because you're the biggest Giants fan I know. You kind of had a love-hate thing with Eli over the years, no?
Yeah, he was never really, you know, he was erratic. He was erratic. He looked terrible, and then all of a sudden he'd close his eyes, throw the ball up in the air, and somebody catch it.
Right.
And they win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I remember
you
that.
You always liked Eli because he was always there. He always battled. And look, the guy, he's making the right decision. He's going to go out uninjured with a lot of money. And what is to be gained by playing one more season with another team?
I know. By the way, they said he's retiring having made the most money of any player in NFL history. So I guess the money, you know, they guarantee some money and not. He's collected most of his guaranteed money. He's retiring as the highest paid NFL player of all time.
I saw something like $257 million or something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Hall of Famer, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, two Super Bowl MVPs. Why not? Yeah, I mean, in terms of the stats. His win-loss record is not very impressive, but, 16 seasons, he played almost every single game.
He really did.
Yeah.
That's credit to him. Hey, speaking of Hall of Fame, Derek Jeter, of course, not unanimous. One person voted against him. He was in town yesterday, along with Larry Walker, the other elected Hall of Famer from the Colorado Rockies. Derek was actually asked that question about, hey, how about the one guy who didn't vote for you?
It takes a lot of people to all agree to get you to this point. So I am not thinking about that. I'm happy that I'm sitting up here on this stage right now, and that's something that just doesn't cross my mind.
Well, that's typical of Derek.
Hey, you know, Michael, I asked Len this morning because he wasn't really very talkative about Jeter.
You mean me?
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, you got something against Jeter?
Yeah,
no,
Okay. All right, Len. All right, be honest here.
Okay. Here's the only thing that, well, a couple, here's the only thing that bothered. Well,
spit it out.
Come on, Len.
I was there for his rookie season.
Right.
Knew, covered every year, mm-hmm. all those championships, interviewed him 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Just once I would have liked to have heard him say when he walked past me, "Hi, Len." Never once said my name, ever. And I knew the guy for 20 years. He would nod. And then the other thing that
you don't think he liked you?
No, I that's just, that wasn't his style.
Because Warner told me, he always said, "Hey, Warner, how are you?"
And the other thing I noticed, and I don't blame him, but we would go up to him in the dugout for interviews, and, you know, listen, people are always begging him for interviews, so it wasn't his favorite thing to do.
Right.
But I did notice in the dugout when there was an attractive female reporter that he would go over and chat him up. So I'm just saying.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with it.
I think he played it right in New York because reporters can do nothing but cause problems for you.
He never gave you any.
Right,
any,
exactly.
So
right.
People didn't want to interview him because he never gave you any. Just like that answer about. He could have said, "Hey, I'd like to find that guy and strangle him and then laugh." You know, and laugh about it.
Can you tell us one of the female reporters? Give her a name of somebody?
I don't remember. We're out of time, huh?
Oh, I'd like to know, though.
Okay.
Wouldn't you, Joe?
Yeah.
You have the name of somebody like?
No, but it's someone like Erin Andrews. That's all.
Okay.
All right, news time.
I'm going to look her up, Erin Andrews.
Okay. Yeah, never heard of her?
You've never heard of Erin Andrews?
Yeah.
News time. Good morning.
I'm writing a book called Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Of course I've never heard of Erin Andrews.
She happens to be on Dancing with the Stars, which I know you...
I don't watch that.
Cannot watch.
No, I can't because I was going to be a Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Whoa, Erin Andrews. Yeah. She's cute.
All right, we got a serious story here. We have two teenagers dead in New Jersey. They fell through icy ponds yesterday in separate incidents. Obviously, you know, you got to be careful out there. The weather has been kind of temperate in the afternoon. We haven't had these long, hard freezes. So the water is not safe in a lot of places for skating or any kind of activity. But two teenagers dead in two separate incidents in East Brunswick. Police Lieutenant Frank Sutter says two teens tried to save a third guy who had fallen through the ice.
The boys called 911, and then once we got the call, officers in the building actually ran out to the pond, which is, like I said, right behind us.
Victim there, 13 years old, pronounced dead at the scene. And then in Carteret, a 15-year-old has just died from his injuries after he fell through a pond there yesterday. Three firefighters from the U.S.
I feel like you have a fair trial, Harvey.
Oh, my. Sorry about that. Three firefighters from the U.S. are dead after their air tanker crashed while fighting brush fires in Australia. The plane went down earlier today in a rural area of New South Wales. No survivors. The World Health Organization not yet declaring the coronavirus a global health emergency. The illness has killed at least 17 people and sickened hundreds more, primarily in China. The case is also reported in Washington State, and the WHO is expected to meet today to discuss the matter. Just hearing, too, that Beijing is now canceling all large-scale Chinese New Year celebrations.
Wow.
In an effort to contain the spread. They've also put almost like a quarantine on this city, Wuhan. You can't travel.
And there's another city, too, a second city they quarantined. But that thing in Beijing,
that's big. I mean,
that's like saying you can't go to Times Square
New
Year's
Eve. Yeah, so that is just breaking. Oh, yeah, well, let's go to the impeachment thing. You know, is there any news out of that one? House managers accusing President Trump of misconduct and say he deserves to be removed from office. Adam Schiff accusing the president of seeking dirt for dollars, saying he sought to interfere in the 2020 election by trying to force Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden. That will continue this morning. The news today brought to you by Money Matters with Gary Goldberg, Sundays at 6 p.m. right here on 710 WOR. Visit moneymatterswithgary.com. And by now you've heard that the senators are supposed to be sitting quietly during the impeachment trial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Reporters have spotted a number of them breaking the rules.
Uh-oh.
I know your ABC guy didn't see much of this, but some have gotten around the cell phone ban by using their Apple Watches.
Oh, I heard
about that. Oh, yeah.
Others have been spotted with crossword puzzles mixed in with their notes.
That's something I would do.
Yes, that's true.
And some have been caught sneaking chocolate and pumpkin seeds into the chamber. Mm-hmm. And cameras have also caught a number of senators missing from their seats.
Yeah, what's with that?
Hey, you got to be paying attention. If you're a member of the jury at a trial, you say, "Excuse me, I'm going to go to sleep.
Do my crossword puzzle."
Well, I mean, if Adam Schiff were speaking, wouldn't you fall asleep, Joe?
2.5 hours?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's
with those bug eyes of his.
By the way, that little audio thing you clipped there.
That was Harvey.
Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, play that. That's interesting because Harvey Weinstein was actually asked a question by some reporter. So.
Yeah, this was as he was going in yesterday. Yeah.
Do you feel like you have a fair trial, Harvey?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course you're going to get a fair trial.
Fair trial from Harvey.
Testimony begins today.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Joey B. Yep. And we get back, former Governor David Paterson joins us. Does he think that phony New Yorkers should go back to Iowa? That's what the Brooklyn Borough president thinks.
Oh, Eric. Oh, God, I got a lot of thoughts on
Eric. We'll talk to David Paterson about that next. 10 years ago, our iHeartRadio Music Festival premiered, and this year's 10th anniversary lineup will be the biggest and best yet. You can get your tickets before the performers are even announced while supplies last, now through 1 o'clock this afternoon. Don't miss your chance to be there. Our 2020 iHeartRadio Music Festival. Go to iHeartRadio.com/festival. That's iHeartRadio.com/festival.
Very excited, Len, because we are introducing a new segment on the show.
Oh, really?
At 7:40 every Thursday.
Really? What is it?
We're going to be joined by former New York Governor David Paterson.
Awesome.
Who is going to give us his take on everything from impeachment and politics to New York City and
go back to Iowa. Go back
and everything else.
Go back to Ohio.
That's
go
right.
Back to Iowa.
So David Paterson joins us for the inaugural segment of Welcome
David Paterson. We're inaugurating him? Does he have to, like, take the oath?
Well, yeah. Welcome to the David Paterson inaugural segment on Len Berman and Michael Riedel.
Hey, Gov.
Good morning, Governor.
Thank you so much, Mr. Riedel. And I am horrified to hear that your partner, when he was covering sports, that Derek Jeter never called him by his first name.
Never.
But then again, the problem I had with Mr. Berman is one morning I didn't remember what his first name was.
What did you call him?
Called me Glenn.
I sure did. We opened the show.
We opened the show, and I said, good morning, Governor. And he says, good morning, Glenn. At least I wish Jeter would have called me Glenn anything. It was just, you yeah, know, exactly. I just don't think that's just part of his personality. I'm not sure he called anybody by their names. I don't know.
You know, Len, there is a sports talk personality on another station who gave a quote about Derek Jeter that I think is priceless. He said, everyone says for 20 years, Derek Jeter always says the right thing. But no one ever remembered anything he said.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was intentional. He wanted to be vanilla when it came to his quotes, and he did it very well. He really did.
Absolutely.
All right, so Governor, let's jump into this Brooklyn Borough President, Eric Adams, here. Now, I listened to his whole speech. They played it on another station the other day, a big excerpt of it. You were in the room when he said this. My concern about this guy is that I heard hatred in his voice, and this is a guy who is stoking the flames of class division. What did you think?
Well, it's counterintuitive to, and I've known him for 30 years, it's counterintuitive to where his personality really is. What I thought is the case on Martin Luther King's birthday and, you know, other times, and this happens on both sides of the political spectrum. You're in front of a crowd, and you get worked up, and the crowd is pushing you because the previous speakers, you know, it's a contest to see who can get the most applause. And then you get pushed into a place where you really haven't been thinking, and you go and say something like that. And and I'm not making up any excuses. It's terrible. But what I thought was sort of funny is in a different context, that could have been President Trump.
Well, I said that. Yeah, go back to where you came from, AOC.
Yeah, go back to where you came from.
Ilhan Omar.
And now you have somebody who's got a progressive personality saying the same thing, which I've always thought that the two ends of the political spectrum come together. In other words, that there's this anger mm-hmm. on both sides of the aisle, and it's really destroying this country. And while it's not the way I think Mr. Adams acts all the time, I remember I was sitting next to Assemblywoman Kathy Nolan from Queens, and we were talking about this before it even happened, how the speakers were just getting more and more excited. And the question was, who's going to, you know, who is going to get caught up in the fervor and say something that's very regrettable? And that's what happened.
Well, do you think, though, it was... I mean, I got to say, it sounded to me like an attack on middle-class white people. When he says Iowa and Ohio, and I said, I heard him say the other day that, oh, well, they are African-Americans in Iowa and Ohio. But he picked those states because, come on, Governor, they're identified, you know, basically Midwest, milquetoast white people.
Particularly in Brooklyn, in the borough of Brooklyn, there are a lot of Midwesterners. Sometimes, you know, they are nicknamed the hipsters.
Yeah.
Who have moved to New York City and live in the borough of Brooklyn and Fort Greene and Brooklyn Heights and Prospect Park and, you know, in those particular areas have really changed, and they have a lot of people who lived in other places. But the whole credo, the whole essence of what New York City is was this melting pot for different people from all over the world and even all over the country. So it was just totally, I mean, he apologized for it, but, you know, you've really got to resist the temptation to just air out a statement that is going to make people, like you said, Michael, wonder what you really think.
Yeah.
You know, because we were talking about Derek Jeter. We don't know what Derek Jeter really thinks because he was very cautious about what he said. And when you allow that to happen to you, and there's those who do it, you start to get a reputation.
Yeah, we're on with Governor David Patterson, who's going to join us every week at this time. Just for those who don't know, what Eric Adams said was, go back to Iowa, people in Brooklyn, go back to Ohio, go back where you came from. It was an anti-gentrification screed. Hey, moving on to another subject, what's your take on the big impeachment trial that's going on right now?
So, you know, on this station and, you know, other places, I've said that in the Mueller Commission, there was a lot of wrongdoing, but I never understood what the accusation of wrongdoing about the president was. I just never saw that. In this case, I do see it, and I think there was wrongdoing, and now the question is whether it's an impeachable offense. I think that the president has gotten in the heads of Democrats so much that the Democrats have missed a real opportunity. They missed it right after the Mueller Commission, and they're missing it now. What I think you do is you lay out the evidence, and then when it comes time for the, you know, institutional trial, you get up and you say, look, we don't think that our colleagues are going to vote on the evidence here. They're voting politically, and the majority leader basically said it. So you know what? We're going to drop the whole thing. We'll let the people decide in November, and you just walk away, and I think you would get respect even from the other side of the aisle, because I think there are people on the other side of the aisle feel that the president did things wrong, that it's just not impeachable.
Hey, Governor, before we let you go, your pick to win the Iowa caucus is coming up.
I think Bernie Sanders may win the Iowa caucuses.
Really?
I think that may be the case. Now, if Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren wins the Democratic primaries and becomes the candidate, they're going to cancel the presidential election because it's going to be totally lopsided. I think the president could win 35 states.
Wow!
If either of them is the candidate,
all right.
Biden, with all of his warts, is probably the best chance.
All right. Thanks, Governor David Patterson is going to join us every Thursday at this time. Great to talk to you, Governor.
Thanks, Take care.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. When we get back, hey, the subway, Len, crawling with bedbugs.
Uh-oh.
We sent WOR's Cracker Jack exterminator, Alice Stockton Rossini, to see if she can tackle the problem. That's coming up next.
710 WOR.
Well, here's a headline that's certainly going to catch your eye, that bedbugs delay train lines during the rush hour yesterday in Queens. It affected the E, the F, the M, and the R. So immediately you think, well, these bed bugs are running around the subway cars.
Well, yeah. How can they delay the train?
Well, there's more to the story than meets the eye, Michael. That's not exactly the story. And for that, that's why we call on our Cracker Jack reporter, Alice Stockton Rossini.
Our exterminator.
In chief, to check this out for us. Alice?
I'm all over the bed bugs.
What's the story
all
here?
All over the bed bugs here. Well, you know, it's a control tower worker in Forest Hills at 71st Street. Supposedly spotted two bed bugs around 4:30. The tower had to be evacuated. They fumigated. They had to slow or stop trains between like 4:30 and 7:30. And here's the people that were affected.
Okay, so before we just play that sound, it's just to emphasize that bed bugs were not on these subway trains. They were in a control tower, kind of like air traffic control for subways, correct?
Okay. Stay tuned, Len. Stay tuned.
Here we go.
You know when you got to take five trains to get home? That's a problem.
No, so the trains were just slow.
Slow.
You know why? It was a bed bug.
Excuse my French.
You think that's BS?
Oh, I'm not afraid of a bed bug, so that's for me. Have a nice day.
I was on the E Express train, and it was crawling. So it took a long time. Yes. But there's always frustration on the subways. So bed bugs are new.
I was on that train with the bed bugs, right?
There was a You were on the bed bug train.
Yeah.
So it was slower than usual.
Yeah.
What'd you think when you heard it was bed bugs?
I thought it was just weird and funny. Yeah.
Well, welcome to New York, folks. Bed bugs. Crazy.
What's not funny is, you know, I happened to stumble upon a transit worker who told me what the real story is.
Oh, here's the real story.
Yeah, you see bed bugs in the trains, you see bed bugs in the crew rooms, yeah, because you can't control it. It's the homelessness.
Well, how do you know it's a bed bug?
Well, you know what bed bugs look like.
They look like apple seeds. They're yeah. little small teeth.
Yeah, but how fast could they fumigate?
Well, they said 4:30 to 7:30.
Oh, come on. Really?
No.
4:30 to 7:30? No.
Why would they fumigate for two bed bugs?
Right. No, it's more than two, honey. They're not gonna. You think transit is gonna spend money to get two bed bugs? No, they're not gonna do that. It's more than two.
And where there are homeless people, there are bed bugs.
And they're bed bugs. They got bags and containers and what they feel are their worldly possessions.
Now I feel like I need to check my hair.
Yeah, I would.
What do you suggest? Shower?
Burn everything.
So that's a transit worker, huh?
Wow.
Yes, and I was shocked. I couldn't, you know, obviously I can't use her name, but my gosh, she said bed bugs are everywhere, and the problem's gotten worse as the homeless population has increased. I said, what do we do about that? She said, talk to the mayor. These people have mental health problems. The same story, Len, Michael, same story we hear over and over and over and over again. She said there's an average of 3 homeless people on every subway. Every train at any given time. They've got all that stuff with them. You're sitting. It's a wonder we all don't have bed bugs. We're all taking them home. You know, it's an epidemic.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not an epidemic. But the fact of the matter is, this was not two bugs. And I thought, didn't you think that was weird when you read that? That they fumigated for two bed bugs?
I didn't realize. Well, when you said this hurt things for 3 hours, that's the part that got me, because they said they took immediate action, they fumigated the tower, but that takes 3 hours?
Yeah. No.
That was the suspicious part.
I mean, she said it could take longer, and, you know, she doesn't want it to come back on transit workers who, you know, they've got this whole push to keep the subways clean, and they're hiring more cleaners, you know. She said, it's not the cleaners. You can't keep up with it. You cannot keep up with this. It's impossible. And they're all over the place. So, you know, just another fun story to start your day.
Listen, I know some people who had bed bugs, and it wreaked absolute havoc in their lives. They had to move out of the house. Everything had to be fumigated. Yeah. Clothes were thrown away. And, you know, it was really... It took a psychological toll on them.
Absolutely. It's horrifying because every time you think you're rid of them, they hide in crevices.
Yep.
They're not. They just keep, they're like roaches. They just keep coming back, and they're really hard to get rid of. So, yeah, this could wind up being a big problem that we're going to hear more about down the line.
Well, I like the fact you really advanced the story, because it was really buried as well. Bed bugs delayed the trains, but you found out there's a lot more to the story. And when you talk about the homeless issue, that's really the problem here.
Yeah, and are we surprised?
Nope.
It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, it's always Mayor de Blasio's fault. Well, always goes back to him.
The thing in Queens, though, now you got pieces falling off overhead trains and hitting cars and nearly hitting people. I mean, my God, it's one issue after another out there.
I know, but this was a nice subway station. They even have bathrooms. I was shocked.
Wow. Even bathrooms at the subway. All right. Thanks, Alice.
That's my first concern. You know,
of course. I was explaining that to the staff the other day. Thanks, Alice. I was explaining that when I would go out on a remote. Alice said that's her first concern. Whenever I would go out and do a story, first thing you look is, where's the nearest bathroom?
Oh.
As a reporter, out in the field.
Fascinating.
You never worried about that because you were sitting at your desk with your little Broadway typewriter. Hey, when we return, yesterday's 9 hours of the impeachment hearings distilled down to 5 minutes, but only if ABC's Aaron Katursky stayed awake and a chance to win $1,000 after the news. 8 o'clock.